Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. That song has a lot of meaning. Because Jesus lives, I can face tomorrow. Because of what Jesus did on that cross of Calvary, I can face tomorrow. Because of what Jesus put in my heart, I can face tomorrow. I keep thinking about that song. It just keeps going over and over in my head. I had no idea Brother Ernie was going to sing that song. I'm glad he did. I can face tomorrow. I don't even know what it's going to bring. I don't know what lies ahead of us. None of us do. I know there's a day coming, a great day, the day of the Lord. It's going to be a great day for those of us that have been saved. But it's going to be a terrible day for those that are lost and still in their sins. Think of what they have to face. The terrible things that await them. I want to say how much I enjoyed the service this morning. The confidence I had in Brother Todd for standing up and doing what the Lord gave him to do this morning. The message that he brought, I know the Lord has placed those upon my heart, and I know just exactly how hard it is. But trust me, it was love in love that he delivered that this morning. I can remember, and Brother Miller asked me this morning if I would stand tonight and do the service, and had no idea at that time what I would be talking about. But I just have to let the Lord have his way. But I think about the day that I was saved. That very day, how much trouble that was in my heart. Because I knew in my heart I would have to face that day when the Lord came back, when His judgment fell upon me. I knew that I would have to face that, and I alone would have to stand before Him, just as each and every one of you will. When that time comes, whether it be we pass and leave this world, or whether it be the Lord comes back, we will have to stand before Him, all alone, and answer to Him for what we have done in this life that He has given us here in this world. Again, I can remember the day I was saved. I can remember that day just like it was happening yesterday. I can remember the people, the children of God, how that they were so enthused. They were so enthused. I stayed on that altar that day, and I stayed until about 2:30, 3 o'clock, something like that, I don't know. I went home. I couldn't pray no more, and I went home. I wasn't praying down on my knees, but the only thing that was going on in my mind was the Lord. What do I need to do? What can I do to be saved? And in that very statement right there's something wrong with it. There's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that I could do. Just like there was nothing that each one of you could do of yourself. You had to get to a point where you trusted in what Jesus did on that cross that day. You had to trust in Him. And He helped you. He helped you just as He helped me. He helped me by putting trouble there in my heart. Trouble I couldn't bear. You know, we think it, a lot of times we think it, a bad thing to pray that we're praying somebody have trouble in their life or have a burden on their heart. But just as we heard this morning, we need to get in a place where we can pray, where we can humble ourselves. That day, that night when we came back, and I came back up this altar, that day there was people all in the altar. I mean, I don't think that there was room to get around. When I got up, there was people here that late in the day praying for me. No, you can't pray that prayer for someone. But you can ask God, and He hears your prayer, to put that conviction deep within them. No, we don't know what it takes. We don't know what it takes for each individual person. We don't know what to say to them. Just as I don't know what the Lord would have me to preach a week from now. But we've got to be in a shape. Just as we heard this morning, we got to be in a shape where we can do that. I get cold. I'm not lying to nobody. I get cold. I get in a place where I can't pray. I get in a place where I can't even study. But what I have to do, I have to get to a place all by myself. I have to go and to get into that closet that we're told about there in the book of Matthew. I have to go and I have to shut out the whole world. And I have to get there, and I have to get there with only myself and the Lord. And that's what we got to do. That's what we must do. Jesus told us to go out into the whole world. The whole world. But yet we have trouble coming into one place. Like here, we have trouble coming into one place week after week and not being able to get ourselves where we need to be. The world is out there. Every one of us are in it every day. We see what's going on and the things that are going on in our government. We get so concerned about that. We get so concerned about the people that are going around and they're going into the schools and they're shooting people and the guns that are going on and the copycat people that go out and try to do these things also just because they can. And all those things, they get to weighing on our minds real heavy. I know they do mine. I go to work. Sometimes I may have two or three guys that I'm in charge of. Sometimes I may have 15 or 20. Depends on the size of the job. And those things, there's things that go on in a job site that you have to keep things lined out to keep things moving along. And those things just keep weighing down. And they keep building up. And they consume our minds. But we need to get in that place. And you know what? Jesus Himself will help us to get there. He will help us to get in that place to where we can humble ourselves to Him. You know, I've been in services, and I'm sure most of you all have too, where you come up and you can't tell which ones are the ones that are praying for their own salvation and which ones are praying for the salvation of others because the burdens are so much the same and they're so heavy on both. I ask you to pray for me that I would get that burden. That I would get that burden. I want that burden. I want to do what the Lord has given me to do, whatever it may be. He's called me and He told me to go out and to preach the gospel. And I've even failed in that. There again, I'm not making excuses. because the excuses are something that I can change. There's something that each and every one of us can change. I didn't have any clue I was going to be talking this way tonight, but that's the way I'm going to let the Lord lead it. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to Acts chapter 17, verse 22. Again, I ask for your prayers. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, To the unknown God. Whom, therefore, ye ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you." How many people do we see every day? Every day that are in this very situation. We go out into the world and these things that I mentioned a while ago, these worldly things that are going on, how many times do we see how that they are cluttering people's minds? How that we see that we everywhere you go, somebody's on a phone and punching buttons and texting people or getting on the Facebook, and that's the only thing, and it's just consuming them. I can't help but think that the times that we're there, I sat in my chair last night, and I got on there, and I have an old computer there. It doesn't work very well, but I had an old computer there, and I was on the Facebook, and I was looking on there for a little bit. And I got to seeing a lot of people, friends that was on there coming up. You know, there's nothing wrong with people being friends and talking and chatting and talking about these things. But then you get on there, and I don't know about you, but I have some friends on there that they'll put some things on there that don't even need to be in a person's thoughts, let alone put down where people can read them. And I keep thinking about those things, how that they could be there and how that we need to be able to reach out and to talk to them and tell them about our Lord. The things that they are doing, it's straying them away even farther. Not only them, ourselves. We get caught up in those things about the texting, about the Facebooking, about going over here or going over there. I'm too busy. I got to go this. I got to run here. I got to take my kids here. I got to take them over there. And there's some parents that take them and they run and they run and they run and they run. The ball games and the extras that they do are good. But yet we've also got to train them up. We've got to train them up. We need to take more time training our children the ways of God and in God's Word that they will come up and knowing and having more knowledge. You know, the more knowledge they have, the more that the Lord will work on them. The more knowledge they have, the burdens that they'll get that gets put upon them, the greater they will be. I don't know about you, but that's what I want. I want their burdens to be great. I want them to be so terrible that they can't eat, they can't sleep, they can't do anything else but to seek after Him. And you know what? I need to be the same way. My burden needs to be so great that the only thing that I do is to call upon Him and ask Him what He would have me to do. Lord, what can I do? What can I do to help this person find their way to you? We find we find that each one of us, just as Paul said, each one of us has a vocation, a job to do. When the Lord saved our soul, He also gave us a job to do. Whether that be to testify, to tell your testimony, whether that be to sing, whatever it may be, He gave us a job to do that we must carry it on. Think about those that you attended service with. Maybe when you was a young child, those people that were so faithful, and how that they were faithful to come into God's house, and how that they would come there and they would pray. Some of them even coming to you maybe and talking to you and asking you about your soul. They were faithful to be there. People, if we don't get in a place where we get those burdens in our own hearts, our children and grandchildren won't have a place to come where they will hear the truth. These people here, they were being... Well, I'm just going to go on and read. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Each one of us has a lifespan here in this world. We have a time that when we're born and when we die, when we leave this world, each and every one of us have that, and there is no exceptions. Not one. We all have a time when we're going to die. You and I, our children, our grandchildren, and not a one of us knows when that's going to be. If you knew that the Lord was going to come back tomorrow, if you knew that, what would you do? I feel confident to say right now that seeing everyone that is here tonight, I feel confident enough to say that you would go to every one of your loved ones that you knew was lost, and you'd do your very best to get them to seek after the Lord. Tomorrow may very well be the day that the Lord comes back. We don't know the times or the seasons. Only God Himself knows when that time will be. We see so many people out in this world today that have been deceived. I myself was deceived when I was younger. You know, I thought that all you had to do was go and be baptized. Think of how many people are out there today that are in that same situation. The very same situation. They think that all I have to do is receive Him into my heart. I'm going to turn over here. John 12, first chapter, 12th verse. It says, "But as many received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." You know, a lot of people, a lot of preachers that are out there today, they would stop right there. Receive Him. You know, I've looked that up. The receive here is embrace Him, to believe in Him. You can't receive something that you don't believe in. And then you go on there to the very next verse. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, a lot of places they'll leave those verses out. You have to be born of God. You can't just decide to come up and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ within your heart and expect to be in heaven. But you see, there's a lot of people out there today that believe that. And we need to get busy. We need to get in a place. I need to get in a place where I'm willing that every opportunity, whether it be in the workplace, whether it be wherever you go each and every day, we need to be willing. You know, I have a hard time. I'm not much of a talker. Truly, I'm not. I'm a quiet person. My wife does a lot of talking. But normally, I'm a quiet person. And I have a hard time. I struggle, and always have. I struggle with being able to talk to people one-on-one about certain things. I'm not a knowledgeable person. But you know what? When I get to talking about the Lord with somebody, He helps me with it. He helps me with it. I can talk to them and I can tell them. And you know what? If we have nothing else, if we don't have anything else, we can tell them about the time that the Lord saved our own soul. You know, that is the best time that you will ever have in your life, the best thing that will ever happen to you. And it's the best thing that you can tell anyone because you know it. You know it. You felt it in your own heart. You know it. Some scripture. I had some readings I was doing and I had them marked and got confused. There's some scripture here in the book of Joel, second chapter. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. Just as in the Great Commission, blow the trumpet. You know, you think about that, that takes a little bit of effort. It takes a little bit of effort to do these things that the Lord asks us to do. To go out into the world. Most of us today, I know myself, I have a house that I live in because the Lord blessed me with having a job to be able to pay for it. It's comfortable. Yes, I love going, sleeping in my bed and laying in there a little bit of a morning. I'm not a morning person as far as getting up and jumping up and running around. But I like being in my own home. I like being there, being comfortable. And you know, sometimes I get so lazy that all I do is just stay there when I could be out. I could be visiting those in the hospitals, know them or not. There are people there that are hurting. There are families there that their loved ones are in a position where they're maybe going to pass here soon. They need our help. They need God's comfort. And God will use us to comfort them if we will let Him. We've got to get out of the comforts of our own homes, out of the comforts of the things that we do every day. We get into routines. I know I do. Get into routines. I'm going to do this at this time. I'm going to do that at that time. I'm going to eat lunch at this time. I'm going to go back here. I'm going to eat supper at this time. I'm going to go to bed at this time. I'm going to get up at this time. I as well as a lot of people, need to realize how soon things can change in this world. How soon a loved one may pass and we've not heard a testimony. Many of you have gotten a call. I know I have. My dad passed away. And the first thing I thought, I've never heard him. I never heard him give a testimony of salvation. The only thing I have to hold on to is after the funeral, my aunt come to me and she told me how that when they was young kids, how that they had a piano and how that they was then they would sing the old gospel songs. That's the only thing I have to hold on to. It's not much, but I'm holding, hoping that I will see him in that city one day. I know many of you have loved ones in your own families that stray away. No, we can't take them by the collar. We can't drag them to the altar. We can't tell them what to pray. We can't tell them to pray. But we can get a burden upon our own hearts so deep, so strong, that we would be willing to beg them. We would be willing to beg them. Remember how you had to beg for your own salvation? I did. I had to beg the Lord, first of all, to show me what to do. I had to beg Him to help me to do it. Just as I had to beg Him to help me here tonight, to get myself out of the way that I could speak to you from my heart where the Lord is, that He could come out. Don't you want to see all your loved ones go to heaven? I know you do. But we have to be in a place where we can talk to them. How do we get to that place that we can talk to them? Go into our closets and talk to the Lord and ask Him for His help. Jesus came into this world for each and every, no one excluded, person in this world. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow, He'll never change. Just as He came into the world for everybody born in days past, present, and future, if He allows it to be. He's used His people down through the ages of time. We think about God's Word, the history that is here of how He has used His people. The history that is in here that you hear the preachers preach about and tell you about. God gave us this book His holy word. If we don't get into it with all of our heart, seeking His will, it is nothing but a book. I had one when I was lost that my uncle gave me that just sat. Sometimes it'd sit on a table. Sometimes it'd be in the closet. Sometimes I'd get it out because it had a pretty picture on the front of it. It was all gold on the front and had a picture with a Jesus picking the wheat. The scripture that was right under that picture I'm going to leave you with that verse of scripture. The harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The laborers are few. It's right here in God's Word. You can read it for yourself. The laborers are few. I want to be one of those few. I want to be one of those that will help even one, find their way to the Lord. I want to be one of those laborers. When we work for the Lord, and I want you to think about it, the things that you've done for the Lord, didn't you get a blessing from it? Didn't you get a blessing from it? I feel that the Lord's done with me here tonight. I don't want to test your patience, but just think about that. The laborers are few. God's children, you think about those, the sister churches we have here around about us. All of those that are faithful are some of those laborers. But you think, even the people in our sister churches, in our church, that are just in this area, think about that number of people. And then think about the number of people that are in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Brother Miller, I'm going to turn the service to you.